Hello and welcome to News 24 on Air, our live audio service. I'm Mihlali Ntsabo. South Africa is on Thursday morning set to present its genocide lawsuit against Israel in the International Court of Justice in The Hague to persuade the ICJ to order the country to halt its military attack on Gaza. The delegation, led by Correctional Services Minister Ronald Lamula, consists of some of the country's top legal minds and will present its case over 2 days. In its lawsuit filed in December of 2023, South Africa has argued that Israel's attack on Gaza, which has killed more than 23,000 Palestinians, 10,000 of them children, constitutes a genocide as stipulated by the 1948 United Nations Genocide Convention. Both South Africa and Israel are signatories of this convention. Israel has refuted and criticized South Africa's court application, claiming that South Africa was aiding the devil. To help us unpack South Africa's arguments in its 84-page document, News 24 specialist legal writer Karen Morn joins us now on the line. Karen, South Africa has turned to the International Court of Justice to persuade the ICJ to order Israel to immediately suspend its military operations in Gaza. Perhaps maybe let's start off with you bring us up to speed as to what South Africa's key arguments are in their application.
Well, essentially what South Africa is doing is it's asking the International Court of Justice to grant certain provisional measures against Israel that would effectively result in the suspension of Israel's military operations in Gaza. And they are doing that on the basis of their case that certain acts or omissions by the Israeli government have essentially constituted genocide against the Palestinian people. And they are saying to the International Court of Justice that, and the case is extremely detailed, it's 84 pages based on UN reports, the historical situation in Israel and Palestine in Gaza. And they are saying essentially that for the court to grant this provisional relief, it needs to simply be satisfied that the acts that it complains of would fall under the Genocide Convention in order to grant that relief. So they are essentially going there on an urgent basis to seek effectively the suspension of the war, Israel's war in Gaza.
Right. And what does the UN Genocide Convention define as a genocide?
Genocide is the intentional destruction of a people in whole or in part. And in 1948, the Genocide Convention, which is what South Africa is using to base its case on, defined genocide as any one of five acts committed with the intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. Those acts obviously include, you know, the killing of you know, the Palestinians, according to the South Africans, the mental and health mental and physical health traumas that they are suffering, the impact on women's ability to give birth, for example, because of the hospital being in such a dire condition. And they also reference the fact that, you know, in many respects, life in Gaza has become unlivable because of the widely documented humanitarian crisis that is occurring there.
Right. And of course, there's been international reaction to this lawsuit. But I think let's start off with perhaps how Israel has responded to South Africa's lawsuit.
No, they've had different responses. I mean, they've described it as blood libel, which is a reference to in the Middle Ages where these false claims were made about Jews that they were killing Christians, murdering Christians in order to get their blood for certain, you know, dark rituals. And that obviously then became the basis, these false claims for massive persecution. So they are essentially accusing South Africa of perpetrating lies, essentially saying it's anti-Semitic. Right. And the South African government has denied that in very strong terms and just said, you know, Zane Dangle speaking to me saying that it was essentially weaponization of the well-documented suffering of the Jewish people over the years. You know, with the pogroms, with the Holocaust, with the deep, you know, repeated human rights abuses perpetuated against the Jewish people. They've also questioned whether South Africa really is the anti-genocide champion that it's positioned itself to be, given, of course, you know, South Africa's failure to act on that ICC, International Criminal Court, arrest warrant that was issued against then-Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir for genocide, mm-hmm. The suspicion of genocide against certain ethnic groups in his country, and pointed out that, you know, South Africa defied the ICC on that, and questioned whether, you know, South Africa is bringing this case in good faith. That, of course, I don't know, it really is more of a political argument that it is than it is a legal one. Right. But they have, Israel has very explicitly denied that it is committing genocide. It maintains that it is, you know, used all kinds of measures, including calling people before it bombs areas, etc., to try and prevent civilian casualties. But the level of civilian casualties in Gaza, where South Africa's application documents that, you know, one child in Gaza is killed every 15 minutes. You know, that we have this huge rate of children with amputations, that 23,000 people are documented to have died. The you know, entire families have been wiped out. And I think the last statistic that I heard, which reportedly came from the Israeli government, was them saying that they had killed 8,000 militants, which means obviously 15,000, a sort of tacit admission that that they killed, you know, 8,000 militants, and as a result that there were 15,000 civilians who have been killed in this conflict.
Right. And of course, since the escalation of this of the Israel and Gaza conflict in October last year, we've essentially seen a rift, globally as to who essentially is in the wrong. I mean, we know that Palestine has been labeled an apartheid state. And if you take into account that South Africa and its history, one would imagine that many of us in South Africa would know what actually constitutes an apartheid state. But there seems to be questions, Karen, around as to how exactly does this war affect South Africa? And I mean, you briefly mentioned that, you know, it's still uncertain whether this is actually a political or legal there's a political or legal motive behind South Africa presenting this case. But I guess also another question is that why does South Africa feel it's important for it to present this case to the ICJ?
Well, when Zain Dangle spoke to me, he acknowledged that South Africa's geopolitical foreign policy had been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. But he said South Africa's democratic government has always been consistent on Palestine.
Right.
And we just need to recall, you know, Nelson Mandela in 1997 saying, quote unquote, we know too well that our freedom is incomplete, right, without the freedom of Palestinians. I've been to Ramallah in Palestine, and there's a statue of Nelson Mandela there. Mm-hmm. The reverence, you know, and when I was there, one of the most heartbreaking things was, you know, young Palestinians saying to me, well, you know, you guys managed it, South Africa managed it, maybe we will manage it. You know, to live in a state where everyone has equal human rights, where there isn't, you know, there's a separate legal system for Palestinian people and Israelis. There's, you know, there's the level of carnage that has been wrought upon the Palestinians in this context, I think is truly disturbing when, you know, it's been described as a war on children. And I think what's very important to remember is that, you know, there is no sense, the South Africans have said very categorically in this application that there's nothing but condemnation for Hamas's attack on the 7th of October, right, which so savagely claimed the lives of 1,200 people in Israel. Most of them were civilians. It was a completely horrific thing. There were allegations of sexual violence. It can very well, in and of itself, be described as an atrocity because of what happened to those civilians. But South Africa says that even in the context of being a victim of an atrocity crime does not justify or give you the right to then break the convention or violate the provisions of the Genocide Convention, which is essentially what they're saying Israel is doing. And I think, you know, Zain Dangle has spoken over the weekend, his Sunday Times said, you know, South Africa may lose friends over this. But I think there is also a global sense of massive disquiet. And I think, you know, even Joe Biden recently saying, you know, in campaign trail in America that there were these, that there was a sense that this war was coming to an end, that, you know, that there would be a sort of scaling down, that it would be, you know, fantastic if Israel could get out of Gaza as soon as possible. And I think we also need to emphasize that, you know, the finding, if there is indeed, if provisional measures are indeed granted against Israel in this context, which many legal experts have said it is very likely to happen, the implications for America will be very profound because they have been funding the arming of Israel.
Right.
And then we have a context where America would be seen to be complicit in a suspected genocide. Mm-hmm. And for the Biden administration domestically, where the genocide convention is domesticated, that could have profound legal consequences for the Biden administration. So absolutely, this case in and of itself has huge implications. The hugest, of course, are for the Palestinian people. But beyond, there's a real sense in which this case is really going to get to the heart of an increasing culture war within our world, and the sense in which, you know, the countries that oftentimes present themselves as bastions of morality may in fact be, you know, just as we are, South Africa has been accused of double standards. You know, the America may itself face those accusations given the level of death that the Palestinians are experiencing.
Right. And Karen, just before we actually talk about, I guess, what this case could potentially mean for South Africa and the US's relation, I just also wanted to perhaps look at, you've spoken to a couple of experts who've weighed in on what the prospects of this case looks like. Could you maybe run us through what, you know, people are anticipating? Does South Africa actually have a strong hold in presenting a solid argument before the ICJ?
You know, Francis Boyle, who was the American lawyer who successfully got provisional relief against Yugoslavia on behalf of Bosnia, the exact kind of provisional relief that South Africa is seeking, has said that he believes that South Africa will get the provisional measures that it's seeking. And he's also said that the implications of that for America will be profound. And Nicole Fritz, who is now a political counsel, and formerly, you know, from the Helen Suzman Foundation, has also said that she believes that the application makes a very strong case, because essentially genocide isn't just about, you know, the conditions, the killing and the the circumstances in which people in Gaza are living. Mm. It's also about intentionality. Mm. And the South Africans have presented direct quotations from 14 military and political leaders, including Benjamin Netanyahu, where, you know, they openly advocate or can be accused of advocating for the whole-scale destruction of Gaza. I mean, most notoriously, of course, Netanyahu made reference to the biblical story of Amalek, that, you know, that the very senior military officials have given a motivational speeches amongst the Israeli troops, quote unquote, be triumphant and finish them off and don't leave anybody behind, erase the memory of them, erase them, their families, mothers and children. These animals can no longer live. It's statement after statement like that. There's one here that, you know, the president, Herzog, you know, is, no, you know, that there should be no distinction between Hamas combatants and Palestinian civilians. And he said, who are the poor women of Gaza? They are all the mothers, sisters, or wives of Hamas murderers. And I mean, this goes on and on and on in this application. And I think, you know, for me, that's one of the most, I think, compelling and interesting aspects of this case, because we know that there's a dire human rights situation in Gaza. It has been, you know, the UN in particular, World Health Organizations, NGOs on the ground, they have all expressed extreme concern. And that would in and of itself be problematic. But when you have that level of destruction combined with the words of very senior Israeli leaders saying, you know, you must wipe them out, they are animals, and this dehumanization of an entire group of people, then I think there is there is, you know, the South Africans will feel that they have produced enough evidence to show that this isn't an accident, that there is an intentional drive here to wipe Gaza off the face of the earth.
And finally, Karen, I think another big question that everyone is now asking is whether or not South Africa's case might impact an already seemingly estranged relationship between South Africa and the US by virtue of, you know, the different stances that both countries have taken. I think, as you mentioned earlier, you know, we talked about how the US essentially has argued in Israel's favor that what is happening in Palestine does not constitute acts of genocide, which is in contradiction to what South Africa is arguing.
Well, I mean, it's completely understandable that America would say that. I mean, they are funding the Israel, you know, the operation.
100%.
They have, you know, so it would be extremely strange for them to say, you know, this operation that we're funding, you know, we perceive that there may be a genocidal aspect to it. And I think it's also interesting to, you know, I think what's so fascinating to me is that, you know, this idea somehow that to take on a particular cause or to highlight what really is very manifestly a humanitarian crisis and huge loss of life and massive suffering in Gaza, that and to question whether it is deliberate, given the pronouncements of very senior Israeli leaders, that it becomes more about, you know, who you're aligned with and your political motivations rather than the merits of the case itself. And if, you know, I understand that instinct. And I think as South Africans, we have a very cynical and understandably cynical attitude towards our government. But the lawyers that are presenting this case are some of, you know, the greatest critics of South Africa's foreign policy. Max du Plessis was one of the lawyers who got clarification that South Africa was obliged to act on that ICC warrant against Omar al-Bashir. He has been outspoken. He's written many articles. You know, of course, Adila Hassim, well known for her incredible advocacy for the life of Sidimeni patients who were killed at the hands of government officials because of their negligence. You know, Thembeka Nkwayatobi has acted for the EFF. He's acted for the State Capture Inquiry. These are incredibly ethical people. John Dugard, who, you know, has worked in the UN, who, you know, his influence on this case is manifest because he's accessed all these reports over the years and most recently about the dire state of Palestine and the dire state of its citizens. So, you know, I think I understand that instinct, but let us not let a conversation about who's friends with who disrupt the conversation about is there reason to believe that the human rights abuses that are occurring in Palestine have an intentional dimension to them, given the performance of the Israelis. And if that is the case, has South Africa made a case to say, look, let there be provisional measures granted so that this conflict stops and that these people who have been through absolute hell have some chance of escaping with their lives and rebuilding their lives in given what's happened to them. And it's also, you know, again, there is no sense in which the South Africans have tried to excuse the conduct of Hamas. They have outrightly condemned it in this application. But, you know, one human rights abuse cannot ever be justification for more human rights abuses. And I think that's at the heart of what the South Africans are arguing.
Karen Morn, specialist legal writer at News 24. And to follow our live blog and full updates on court proceedings, do visit news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlali Ntsabo.